Good morning. All right, so this morning we're going to be studying in the book of James. So that's in the New Testament. So go ahead and find the book of James if you can near the back of your Bible, near the back of your New Testament. We're going to be again in chapter 1 of the book of James. The theme of this 5 weeks looking at the book of James is the theme of the book, which is faith, works, and wisdom. And so those are huge prominent themes in the book of James, and we want to apply ourselves toward those things. And so this morning, as we look at James chapter 1, verse 19 through 25, I want to encourage you with this thought that God really blesses us when we are active, when we do what he's called us to do, not when we sit. You know, when we think about it, those are important and part of it. But when we act in obedience, when we act by faith, the blessing is in the doing. That's what we see in this passage this morning. And so let me just show you the verses and briefly pray. And we're going to jump in. We have 2 points this morning. All right. Are you ready? So James chapter 1, verse 19, a very well-known passage. I'm going to read it, but this is a well-known passage, but I just want you to take it in this morning if you are familiar with it, as if it's new, as if it's something that God really wants to share with you today. So here we go. James 1, 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. That's this passage we're going to study this morning, carefully going through it. So let me quickly pray if you'll bow with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning and just bringing us here, Lord. You've guided our path to be here and to open your word and to hear your wisdom, your thoughts. God, we confess that your ways are higher than our ways, your thoughts higher than our thoughts. Lord, you are wise. Lord, would you make us more wise? Would you fill us with truth this morning, encourage our hearts and our minds? And God, move our feet to be people of action. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The blessing is in the doing. That's the focus and topic of this passage, all right? The first point this morning is to grow by the word of God, by wisely weeding out sin in my life. All right, so we're going to unpack what this statement is saying and what it's about. It's coming from these first three verses, verses 19 through 21. All right. So just as we jump in here, let me just quickly make a personal confession. I was thinking about this. I don't think that I have ever weeded my yard in any part of my yard, flower bed, etc. I think people should. I know, like, for instance, here at the church, we pay a company to help us with these things. And when they don't, when they forget, I notice. I really do think people should. And I think someone should. I haven't, though. And what I do, because I do like it to look nice. So what I do is every year, I buy more mulch. And if you're not a yard person, I know, like, I'm, you know, in that stage of life, mid-40s, you know, home improvement illustration is just sort of right down the middle for me. But I'm just saying, like, you get to this place where you're like, you know what? I have a house, like, I want it to kind of look nice, and I have some flower beds, and I'm not weeding them, though. I'm going to buy new mulch every year, just put it on top. And you see the weeds come through, and you're like, again? And you're just like, well, I can fix that. More mulch over top. And this has been our reality, and I'm thinking about doing it differently in the near future, but that's okay. Like, it's all right if I do that with my yard, but that plan is a bad plan spiritually. And this passage really does get right to that. And I want to show you how. In this passage, just in like the first three verses that are this point, we see four commands, all right? So if you look at 19 through 21, no is one, be is another, put away and receive. So look at verse 19. It says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. You know, make a note of how it starts, right? What do you see there? I mean, know this, my what? Beloved brothers. It's the word agape. It's loved ones. The assumption is, James's assumption is that he's writing to Christians, or at least people who would perceive of themselves as Christians, those loved by Jesus, beloved ones. The NIV says, dear brothers and sisters. So let's just kind of get that right first, right? This is to Christians who are the loved ones. It says this, let every person be, all right? You see that? I know we're going slow, but what? That's a command to be. This is about being just as much as doing. This is about character. Who's it for? Some Christians? Who's it for? Christians with anger problems? Christians with listening issues? Who's it for? Everyone. What does it say? Every person. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, right? Quickness and slowness at the right times are very important. And you know this. You know this, like in a game, let's say a soccer game. There's a time when you need a goal and the time's running out. You better be quick. You better hustle. But there's a time when they need a goal and the time's running out and you're going to slow it down. There's timing is everything, right? When are you quick? When are you slow? James says, listen, be quick to hear. Be slow to speak. Be slow to anger. Normally, we're slow to hear, right? James says, do the opposite. Be quick to hear. Hear who? Hear others? Hear the word of God? Be slow to speak. Normally, we're very quick to speak. You say, I'm not that way. I'm an internal processor. Well, that's speaking. You're just speaking and no one can hear you. But it's internal speaking. The point is, be slow to speak, to express your thoughts, but be in that quick listening posture. So out loud or internally, be slow to speak, to debate, to argue. Be slow to anger. Also, that's our default at times, expressed in ways that are as different as all of our personalities, for sure. But we're often quick to become angry with others. Perhaps with short fuses or patience running out, we tell ourselves it's rightful anger sometimes. But most of the time, it's not, right? So here James just comes right out, you know, first, who is this to? Who is this to? To Christians. He says, know this, beloved brothers and sisters. Be slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen. Now, what does he say in verse 20? Why? Why? Well, he gets into it. And actually, James zeroes in on one of the things that he just talked about. He talked about three things, listening, speaking, anger, right? He zeroes in on one of them in verse 20. Look at it. For, you see it? The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The King James Version says, does not worketh the righteousness of God. Definition here for righteousness of God could be, or we could just state it this way. Here's a real clear statement. My human anger fails to produce the justice for myself that I want to see, and it often fails to produce the Christ-like righteousness in me that God wants to see. Okay? So James is making this point in verse 20. It's like trying to get out of a room by pushing on a door that says pull. and it's hinged to swing inward. You can keep doing it. It's not going to work. It doesn't produce. It doesn't work if the result that you're wanting. And that's what James is saying. That's the argument he makes. He could have said, don't be quick to anger because it's wrong, because it's, you know, not right and it's wrong. He could have taken that angle, but he doesn't. He takes the angle of it doesn't work. The results are poor. That's what he says. Poor for your spiritual growth, for your righteousness, for the results that you're wanting. Verse 21, he continues, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So here he says, therefore, so he's not moving to a different subject. He's sort of bringing what he's been talking about into a very clear action step. He says, therefore, put away, weed out. That's what he's saying. And he's already zeroed in on anger. And maybe for someone this morning, there's a reason for that. I don't know. Probably all of us in some way. But he zeroed in on anger in verse 20. But then in verse 21, he's like, let me now put anger in sort of a bucket with a lot of things. And let's just say, let's put all these things away. That's what he says. Therefore, put away all filthiness, of which anger would be a part, unrighteous anger, and rampant wickedness. So filthiness would be dirt, rampant wickedness, any form of evil that is prevalent, the areas of compromise in our walk with the Lord. You know, the things that we're hanging on to, behavioral things, you know, emotional things, attitudes, just things that are in us that are need to be weeded out. Grow by the word of God, by wisely weeding out sin in my life. James gives a very sort of central example using anger, but then he says, but there's a lot of other things. And he gives this sort of open-ended description of things that should be weeded out. What does he say next? And so do this and then do this. He says, like, instead do this. Do you see? And receive with meekness. I'm in verse 21. The implanted word, which is able to save your souls. There's a lot of really good and challenging truth in these words. Receive with meekness. Humility, humbly receive. Meekness is strength. Jesus was meek. Receive with strong, but humility. The key truth here, think about it. What does it say? Oh no, look at this. It says, receive with meekness what? The implanted word. That's God's word. That's the good news. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says, which is able to save your souls. This is new covenant language here. This is the word that was declared in James's day in the first century, the word about Jesus Christ. That the Son of God has come, that he has lived a perfect life, a sinless life. He has died on the cross for sinners. He was buried. He rose on the third day. This is not good advice. It's a good word. It's good news. And he's saying that's been implanted in you. It's able to save your soul. But he says you got to receive it. He says you got to receive it. And he puts receiving that sort of in contrast or as sort of a result of weeding out stuff. The picture is the picture of a flower bed or a garden. And yes, the word is implanted and it's there. But can it grow? Can it flourish? The key truth is this: we cannot live in compromise and then just add knowledge over top of it, a layer of mulch, a layer of knowledge, a layer of church attendance, of notes and sermons, of community group attendance, just a layer of knowledge over top of personal compromise in our lives as believers, and then expect to grow, to see the results that we're hoping we would see, or that God wants to see. And if we think we can do that and we live in that lie too stubbornly, it might reveal something about us that we're not really even saved. And that's why the stakes are as high as what he says, which is that it's able to save your souls. So, if you ever go tubing with a group of people, it's really hard to stay together. And so you kind of hold on to each other's tubes. If you might tie them together so you can kind of have your party of people tubing down the river all together. It's really hard to kind of hold it all together. It's hard sometimes to hold things together. That's the point. Like this life of compromise, this life of, you know, I'm going to be this person, but I'm also going to be this person. This Christian that wants to grow, that says, I want to be this follower of Christ. It's hard to kind of hold it all together. It's really tiring. Your arms get tired. You feel stretched out. I can't be both these people. You know, that's when you're going down the river together. But the reality of life is that a Christian is going upstream. And many of us are trying to stay connected to another tube that's going downstream while we're trying to go upstream. It doesn't work. We have to grow by the word of God, by wisely weeding out the sin in my life. We can't just live in this compromise. We can't just put, you know, stuff over top and expect both can be there. It will still go the direction I'm hoping. It's the implanted word. Why would we be told to receive something that's already implanted? Think about that. That's an interesting statement. Verse 21. But think about it. Sometimes we need to receive what we already have. Isn't that true? Sometimes we really do need to receive, be receptive to, say, you know what? That's already here, but I'm resisting it. I haven't received it. And that's the reality. And so, yes, the implanted word may be there, yet we are, in this verse, commanded to receive the implanted word that is able to save your souls. Some of us might need to have a DTR conversation with God's word or with the gospel, defining the relationship, you know? Like, we need to really ask ourselves, do I really receive the authority of God by his word in my life and want to really live according to it? That's the challenge. I love this quote by the late pastor Tim Keller from his book, Reason for God, which I would recommend. If you don't trust the Bible enough to let it challenge and correct your thinking, how could you ever have a personal relationship with God? In any true personal relationship, the other person has to be able to contradict you. Only if your God can say things that outrage you and make you struggle, as in a real friendship or marriage, will you know that you have gotten hold of a real God and not a figment of your imagination. Receive the implanted word. Not just have it in proximity, but receive the authority of God's word into your life. And seeing the fruitfulness that you're wanting to see is contingent upon not just receiving the word, but also upon wisely weeding out the sin in my life that's prohibiting the growth that I and the Lord hope to see. Got to create the environment for that growth. Wisely weed out those sinful habits and tendencies. So again, I've never weeded, personally, you know, real weeds in the yard. But hopefully, spiritually, we all will. We all will see the wisdom in that. Okay? So in point one, we look in verse 19 through 21. We're looking at the word of God, the implanted word of God. We've talked about that. Point two is all about continuing with this and discussing our response to the word of God. So receiving is one part of that. So point two is this: respond to the word of God with honesty, commitment, and action in my life. Honesty, commitment, and action. Okay? First, we'll consider honesty. Now, one thing to keep in mind sort of in the background as we look at the book of James is that James has three audiences in view. And these are always kind of the audiences. He's thinking of the saved, the people who are Christians. He has in the back of his mind also perhaps people overhearing what he's saying, the not saved. But there's a third audience. Do you know who it is? It's the self-deceived. It's the people who would say they're saved, would say they're a Christian, but perhaps are not. He has all three of these audiences in mind, and James is so helpful for addressing all of that. An English bishop once stated, to deceive is bad. We talked about that with the Ten Commandments. To deceive yourself is worse. To deceive yourself about your soul is worst of all. No one lies to you more than you. No one lies to me more than me. So let's examine this. Let's live no lie. Let's examine belief versus behavior. That's what James is calling us and inviting us to do in this next point. So verse 22, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Okay. Now, before we dive into this and just kind of as we do, let me make a gentle note to you if you are Mr. Pragmatic or if you are Mr. or Mrs. Allergic to Theology. This does not say to be doers and not hearers. It says not to be hearers only. Knowledge is important. Ideas do have consequences. We need to be growing in our knowledge of God, our knowledge of the Word of God. We need to be really awesome hearers, reading, listening, you know, seeking to know more. That is important. It doesn't say not to do that. And so if you're Mr. Pragmatic or Mrs. or Mr. Allergic to Theology, this is not endorsing you. Like two wings on a plane, we need both. We need hearing and doing. And this says it's all about both knowledge and application. It says, if you are a person who only hears and does not do, you are, it says, deceiving yourselves, literally looking at yourself in the mirror and telling yourself a lie. Maybe you go to synagogue. That would be like the first century, some of James's audience. Or maybe a house church. Maybe you go to Fellowship Raleigh. Maybe you are going to community group. And you're hearing only but not doing. Then perhaps James has you. And he would say, maybe you're lying. What are you lying about? You say, I'm not purposely lying about anything. Well, maybe you are. Maybe you're lying that you've heard the word. That you've really heard. Maybe you're lying that you've done something. That you've done something beneficial. Maybe you're lying to yourself about that. Maybe you're lying to yourself saying, I'm growing, but maybe you're not. Maybe you're lying to yourself about your identity, your very identity, about who you are with that hearing and saying, because of that, I am a Christian, and maybe that's a lie. James 2, verse 19 says, the demons, they actually know orthodox theology. And they shudder because of it. They're not saved. So knowing and hearing is not enough. It's essential, but alone it's not enough. Honesty. Respond to the word of God with honesty. Also, commitment. Commitment. So now I want to read to you verse 23 to 25. We'll keep going here. So he continues, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the law of liberty, and here's the key word, perseveres, commitment. Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Respond to the word of God with honesty, commitment, and action. So what we see is the four-step process of the self-deceived man or woman. Here are those four steps. One, the person looks intently in the mirror, right? Second, the person goes away from the mirror. Third, the person forgets what they saw. They might have spent a lot of time, combing their hair, curling their eyelashes, just spending all this time absorbed in it, hearing it. But then they go away and they forget. Then the final fourth step is they're self-deceived because of that. There's no lasting impact. It's like, I'm so committed to what I just learned. I'm going to get a temporary tattoo right now. I'm excited about it. Really? Why don't you get a permanent tattoo? Why don't you commit? Well, I like temporary tattoos. That's how we are sometimes. No persevering, no commitment, no staying power, no practical difference, no real change. Just insights. So now the four-step process of the blessed man or woman is different. Both look intently. So step one is to look intently. Intently means I'm intense. Like I'm taking notes, bro. Like I'm intently learning. I'm underlining. I read with a ruler. I've got a pencil. I've got notes in the margin. I'm intently looking. Both people do that in James's description. But the person who is blessed, instead of just going away, the second step for them is persevering. And so they commit. And then the third step is to act on it. And the fourth step, instead of them being described as self-deceived, they're described as blessed. Respond to the word of God by honesty. We looked at that. Commitment. We just looked at that. And now action. For the action part, I want to look at the second part of verse 25. Do you see? It says being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Being a doer who acts, blessed in his doing. The title of this morning is The Blessing in Doing. Please remember that. Think about that. The blessing in doing. Lord, I'm going to do something with what I just heard. I believe, Lord, that you're going to bless me as I do something with what you just said to me. It's more than one box of action on your to-do list to check, although it is not less than that, and I hope all of us will at least do that. It's rather see the vision before you for the life filled with true joy that is a life of hearing and doing the word of God, acting upon the word of God. This is so true, isn't it? And there's such a warning in this, isn't there? Beware, Christian. Don't be the postgraduate auditor of the Christian faith. Listening for someone else all the time. Oh, I wish my daughter was here. I wish my son was here. Such a spiritually dangerous place to be. James is warning us. Don't be that Christian who's living on and serving up obedience leftovers instead of fresh faith. Fresh stories, fresh moments of man, Lord, I'm going to put into action what you just told me, trusting you're going to bless me, and I'm excited to see it and to share with someone about it. The blessing is in the doing. It's blessed to hear, but it's blessed to hear and act upon what we hear. That's real Christianity. That's really following Jesus. And so I want to conclude with three just encouragements to you as I invite Josh to come back up. The first encouragement is, let's get our fingernails dirty and get to work at wisely weeding out perhaps areas of sin that are
prohibiting that growth that the Lord wants to bring about by his word. Be decisive. Stop piling up knowledge on top of compromise. And in so doing, deceiving yourself, even if it's PG compromise. Pursue real growth. That's the first one. Get the fingernails dirty. Let's go do some weeding. The second encouragement would be, I just challenge you to apply being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger in real community, in your real life, with some other people, some other Christians, ideally, this week. Maybe that's in community group. Maybe that's in your family. But to really think about, God, I want to be blessed in my doing, so help me apply that specifically in some very specific way. And then the last encouragement I want to give to you is just sort of a spiritual encouragement, sort of for your heart. And it's this, bringing us back up to verse 19. Maybe just put your eyes on verse 19 for a second. How does it start? Know this, my beloved brothers. I love how this reminds us of the gospel. It reminds you this morning, and it reminds me that we're not working for the love of the Father. We are working from the love of the Father. Because of Jesus Christ, because if you put your faith in him, you can be one of those who James would say, you're a beloved brother and sister. So you're not trying to earn God's love. You're not doing these things to so he will love you. You are working from a place of beloved. And it's so freeing. And it's inspiring and it's empowering and it makes you want to live this life of doing, this life of action for your Father in heaven who unconditionally loves you, whether you do or don't. So let's seek him this week together. Because Jesus died on the cross for us. Because of that, we're secure in his love. And because he loves us and he lays down his life for us, he also lays before us this promise of what it would look like to live this blessed life. Lord, we thank you this morning for this book of James and for these challenging and encouraging words. Help us to build our life upon being people who live out our faith. And you are loved. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.